ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host. I am super excited today. Moshe is back for another great conversation. But before we get to do that, we're going to dive into death today, by the way. Interesting topic to talk about when I'm going to tell you that my book launches this week. But yes, I'm very excited on both accounts. This is going to be a powerful conversation about staring death right in the face, getting comfortable with the concept, or at least as comfortable as we can. It creates such a tremendous source of fear. And what we want to try to do today is dispel some of that, or a lot of that, depending on how willing you are. So again, welcome to the show. And before we get started, again, this is book launch week. My book launches on September 29th, next Tuesday. You can do pre-orders. Please go to www.adventuresintruth.com, and you'll find all the links there to the various goodies there. I'm very excited because a lot of reviews are coming in as we're getting ready, reaching out all over the place, getting some great feedback. But what I can tell you personally, and even the people that I'm receiving the reviews from, are saying similar things, which feels really amazing because that's feedback from people who are experiencing it with no context other than, hey, would you review my book? And that is that this book has the potential to change your life. And why I say that and so boldly is because what I know is that when you change your relationship with fear, it changes your entire life experience. It changes everything. Because when you go from a fear-based kind of consciousness to a more opportunity-based consciousness, and you're no longer restricted or limited by a limited viewpoint created by fear, you now have opened yourself up to potential and opportunity that you don't even have a concept of yet because your focus has been so tight and so small. So www.adventuresintruth.com is where you can pre-order, and you'll be able to order live via the links on my website. Come Tuesday. And I'm really looking forward to that. Book launch, I also have a special show happening on Tuesday. I'm so grateful to E360 TV and Aaron Himes for supporting me in this book launch, supporting me on the network. It's just fantastic. But he's given me a slot on Tuesday on book launch day to have a book launch celebration. So that's what I'm going to do. Not quite sure what all that looks like, but obviously we'll have some reading. We'll hopefully have a couple guests pop in and just say hi and just celebrate. Really, that's what it's about, is celebrating the launch of my book and getting it out to all of you, the millions of you who are interested in changing your relationship with fear. So join us then, and we'll wrap up this segment with a little teaser, and we'll see you on the other side. Hi again. Welcome to the show. And let's welcome Moshe to the show. Hi, Moshe.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. Good morning.
Great to see you. We are about to have another powerful conversation with Moshe. I look forward to these conversations. And just a quick synopsis for y'all out there just joining us or have not seen it before. Our conversations with Moshe is actually sort of a full circle moment that happened over the course of about 5 years. 5-6 years now, I think, when Moshe and I originally met. and we would get together and in the context of sessions we were doing, we'd have conversations, and these conversations would always be, about consciousness, because that's what we were focused in. And Moshe would always say, you know, we really should record this. And every week he would say, you know, we really should record this. We should figure out a way to record this. And at that juncture, I don't know that I was prepared for or ready for that. but it was always a lovely thought. But then flash forward now, and not only are we having the conversations, we're having the conversations live with however many people are watching. And it's an extraordinary experience. But I want to tell you a little bit about Moshe if you haven't met him before. He is the author of this amazing book, which I happen to have right here, The Amari Wave. And you can see in the background for him, that's kind of hard to see. But to tell you a little bit about him, I'm just going to take a few words out of the back of the book here because it's easier that way. Dr. Moshe Engelberg inspires businesses worldwide to be their best by thinking different, acting courageously, and leading with love. His innovative ideas and approach are deeply rooted in a combination of applied behavioral science and diverse wisdom traditions, tested and refined through almost three decades of consulting with world-class organizations. As founder and head of the business strategy consultancy ResearchWorks, his clients include global health and technology companies, federal and state government agencies, large and small nonprofits, foundations, and startups. Moshe is a teacher at heart who helps others find the deep knowledge and truth they hold within. His extensive academic credentials include a PhD from Stanford in communication, a master's in both psychology and public health. He has published numerous research papers and designed and taught many executive education and graduate level courses. As a speaker, Moshe consistently delights and inspires audiences with his innovative thinking, open heart, dry wit, practical how-to tips and techniques. The Amari Wave converges lessons Moshe learned through years of consulting with a wide variety of businesses, mentoring executives, teaching, and his own spiritual journey. His next book's in the Amari Wave series, Riding the Amari Wave, Inspired Stories of Leading with Love, is in the works. I didn't know that. That's exciting. I think I did know that. But again, the Amari Wave, Moshe, theamariwave.com. Look, I even have it right here. Bam, theamariwave.com. Check it out. Order the book. Say hi to Moshe. All right. I got really excited. Did you want to add anything?
I think you got it covered. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. I appreciate you so much. And want to make sure that we're uplifting and as you do for me in so many ways. And I appreciate that. So our conversation today, how do we change our relationship with death? And I had to smile about it because it excites me to talk about this, believe it or not, because it's so much at the core of base fear. I mean, when you get right down to it, it is probably one of the easiest ways to coerce people is to dangle the idea of death in front of them, because it triggers so many different things that it's almost silly in a way because it's such a natural part of our experience. But Moshe, did you want to give a little intro here before we go into our moment of focus about what your thoughts and where we might be driving this bus today?
Sure. I think a starting point is for people listening or watching to just be aware of your reaction when you hear the word death. It's that powerful a word that it can trigger pretty extraordinary reactions, and specifically what you feel in your body, and then what thoughts coincide with that. So I would just start there, and then we'll dive in when we get back.
Beautiful. Be right back. We're going to have a quick meditation time. All right, let's take a moment to focus. This is an important part of the show for me because I like to bring our energy together. You, the listener, the viewer, the people, you know, us here, to just get present in this moment, because the things that we talk about here and the concepts sometimes are pretty intense, sometimes pretty deep, and take a bit, or sometimes take a few minutes to just sort of let it wash over you. So I like to take this time to just kind of bring all of yourself present in now. Bring yourself present in now, and then using breath because breath is the foundation of our life. Breath is the foundation of all of the energy that we have. So bringing that focus helps to get us in present. And now then learning to manage the breath lays a foundation for tremendous change and energetic expansion and growth, because breath is life force. Breath is chi and prana. It's the energy, it's the life that animates us. So when we use that breath consciously to fill our experience and our bodies and actually even our energy field, we are taking a step in consciousness that will have a tremendous impact all the way up the wellness pyramid in influencing how we are able to move through the world in a opportunity-based experience and not a fear-based experience. So let's just take a moment, get comfortable where you are if you can, feet on the floor or legs crossed, whatever you prefer, but just find a comfortable position where you can get full breath, where you can relax into your position, let your eyes go to half mast or just close, or find a soft focus if that's easier for you. And I want you at this moment to bring all of your awareness, just feel yourself, bring your awareness from outside to inside. Just feel the shift as you go in, feel your awareness, draw it into you, and let that awareness just settle into the inside of your being and be in that experience for a moment. You know, as Moshe mentioned at the beginning of the show here, when we talk about death, it stimulates a lot of stuff. As we talk about death, just be in your experience with it. Just be in it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to go through the levels of it. But just be inside. Let your consciousness travel inside your body, starting wherever you want. Start at your head. Start at the top. Feel the awareness inside your head. How does your head feel? How does that connection where your head attaches to your neck and your neck down into your back? What does that feel like? Let the consciousness roam around in there. Feeling it down your arms, feeling through your torso, into your hips. And as you bring that awareness and that breath, just be aware how that feels. Be aware of what happens when you bring awareness to something that doesn't feel comfortable, or when you bring awareness to something that feels good. Notice how that expands just by the virtue of your attention to it. And now as you finish traveling through the body, bring all of that awareness into your heart space, just right into the center of your chest. Just bring that awareness and focus it. And we're going to use that as we focus in the breath. We're going to begin a breath process, or we're going to inhale to a count of four, filling completely. We're going to rest at the top full, and then we're going to release from the mouth, blowing all that air out, all that old energy, all that stale air that's in the lungs. Breathe it out to a count of six, and then when you reach the bottom, you're going to rest in the emptiness, just as important as resting in fullness. So again, inhaling through the nose to four, resting at the top, exhaling from the mouth to six, and then resting at the bottom. And keeping that awareness focused right into the heart space. And right now, this moment, be aware of your breath process right now. Be conscious of how you breathe right now. What's the quality of the breath? Is there a depth to the breath? Do you notice the breath? And as we begin, focus all of your awareness into the breath as you inhale. Two, three, four, you're full and holding at the top, relaxing. And now releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Open and rest in the emptiness. And now engage the lungs, open and expand. Two, three, feeling full at the top as you rest, and now release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Release and purge as you rest into the void. And then engage and open. Inhale. Two, three, all the way full. Four, resting at the top, relaxing the body, feeling that fullness as you release from the mouth. Two, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then resting into that emptiness. Get comfortable in the emptiness. And now continue that rhythm at your on your own, continuing with the inhale to 4, remembering to rest at the fullness, letting that air out, purging all of that stale air and energy that you're releasing. As you get to the bottom, enjoy the emptiness and continuing to breathe. Feeling your focus in the heart, feeling your focus in the breath. Just feeling, just being in this moment. And as you continue that cycle of breath, take in these words, let them wash over you. If they stick, great. If they don't, it's okay. Just let the energy wash over you. I am the evolution of God, realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Feel those words as they trigger a spontaneous breath in your body. Feel that powerful breath expand through your body. And as your awareness is still in the heart and the breath, as you've let these words wash over you, begin to shift your awareness again. Open the heart. Let the energy begin to expand outside of self. So it's in and out, bringing your awareness present to this moment. Being present in this experience. And gently bring yourself back, present in the room where you are, present to the show, present to right now. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Continue to keep that awareness in the breath. We're going to bring Moshe back in when he's ready. And another fun moment of focus. Yay.
Yeah, that felt good.
Yeah, that was nice. That look just feels like it brings everything together. So here we are. On this. Oh, look what I did. I missed a cue, Moshe.
Oops.
It's all good. All right, conversation, here we go. How do we change our relationship with death? So, Moshe, again, you want to start off where you started off before we went into our meditation?
Yeah. The starting point there was to notice for people. I say, notice your reaction, just for the word death. If you hear it, if you say it, you likely feel something in your body and you have thoughts accompanying it, and just observe what they are, become aware of them without judging them. So for some of us, we tighten up, we hear death, or we squint, we kind of, we get very protective and that. And go, and that's a fear reaction, and there's other aspects of fear. One person I know, what's her name? Katie Hendricks. I mentioned my book talks about 4 reactions to fear. We're all familiar with fight or flight, which are 2 ways people might respond to the word death. It's I don't want to deal with it. I'm out of here. That's flight. Fight is kind of the get ready to take it on in a combative way. And the other reactions to fear, and in this case, the word death, are flight, if I can remember them, freeze. We just become immobilized. We just don't know. It's kind of like a deer in the headlights. That's a freeze response. And the others faint. It's like melting, not melting, but losing all energy and fainting away. So notice your reactions and which direction do you go in, or do you have a neutral reaction? And that's what started this conversation, Jim. You might remember we talked the other day about, well, what should our topic be?
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, how about death? And talking about an absence of a strong emotional reaction to the concept or even the imagining. For me, people close to me dying or even myself dying. And I ask the question, so is that a step toward enlightenment or is that active avoidance?
Well, I think,
and you had an answer.
I did, and as you're talking, I'm hoping that our viewers and listeners are understanding the multi-level dimensional consciousness and beliefs that we hold about death, that we've consolidated into this idea of fear of death. But when you dissect it, when, as Moshe was talking, if you sit and you literally can allow yourself to feel into death, you will have an experience that is akin to somewhere between, at least in my experience, exhilaration, anticipation, but so big that it actually can feel like fear, because we don't know how to handle a feeling that big in this body. It's not something, at least that way I understand it, it's not something that we can grasp completely, because we have no experience and have no ability to experience, except in very, very, very slim context, being alive and being dead at the same time. So being on either side of the equation, since we're on the live side of the equation, all you can do is feel into the potential of what that might be. And because we have no literal conscious experience of it, it triggers layers of things. It triggers layers of beliefs. It triggers survival, and it triggers all kinds of fear. So you're getting all of this crazy layers of stuff happening in the same moment. But again, if you can take that moment, I had to have fun with this because, you know, death becomes you. You are all of us. That's the destination, guys. Dead is the destination. Do you understand? It's not, in the greater scheme of things, it's just a transition. But in the context of being human, it's the end result. And so if we are fearing the end result for the entire time of our experience, how much are we limiting that experience? Right? If we fear it so much, if it becomes such a trigger that everything we do is in resistance to death, how much life are we then living? That's my initial question. But to come back to this idea of sitting with confronting death, I loved, you know, this is such a bizarre exercise. And I started, it came on for me a lot in the last couple of years, where there were so many things changing and so many cycles of life and death were happening. Death of old places to live, death of old of aspects of my life, that it started to kind of flood me a lot. And I would find myself in my meditation, or even at night going to sleep, I would have these contemplations about standing with death and what that would feel like. And the feelings I described to you were the feelings that I was feeling, that overwhelming kind of anticipatory, kind of exhilarated, kind of terrified, but all of it in a kind, I don't know what other words to put to it, because it doesn't seem to yield, you know, it doesn't yield past that in my experience. I haven't gotten anywhere other than the realization that it's an experience that's going to happen at some point. Does that make sense? Does that connect dots? Does that begin to open up understanding or awareness in how we look at death?
Yeah. Yeah, and it is it's a tough concept, and it's easy to for listeners, I'm putting my hand over my
glaze over.
To glaze over, to like I don't have space for this, or I don't have a mental construct for this. All I know is death is bad and I fear it. I think that's how a lot of us are trained. And this COVID pandemic has been a huge invitation, huge, to deal with, to bring in the possibility of death.
Yes. And I think that the thing that happens and currently in our world in no uncertain terms, the idea of death is so terrifying because of how the world is being presented right now and the things that we're encountering, that it doesn't enable people to seek solutions to the problems that would exist right now. And understanding that the problems that we are dealing with right now are far greater than our current mental capacity to one, understand them completely, and two, to find solution. And I say specifically mind, because that is our tendency, is to go to mind to solve problems, to go to thought to say, oh, okay, if I can rational my way through this, I'm going to come to an end result that's going to create change. And that's not what's going to happen. Because of the inordinate amount of fear about the potential of death, it causes us to pull back our experience, and it causes us typically not to engage because that fear is dangled in front in some form or fashion, whether it's from a virus, whether it's from losing your job and not having money, whether it's from relationship, whatever it is, there's that energy is there and present. And it's, again, so many, so I apologize. There's so many levels and layers in this that I'm trying to, I'm wanting to bring at least to a level of consciousness so that you out there listening and viewing can begin to explore it within your own, in your own experience. I kind of meandered there, and I think I got lost in a little bit of what I was talking about. So,
yeah,
maybe you can help. Maybe you can help pull that thread a little.
Yeah. Well, one question is, and one that I was raising was, how to discern. So, if I'm not feeling fear when I consider death, mm-hmm. whether my own or others I care about. Is that reaction a healthy one, or is it a way of avoiding it and pretending it's a healthy one? How do you distinguish the two?
Well, the answer is in part in your question. In your description of your experience, it's a non-event in your experience. Saying it doesn't stimulate a negative response. It would be difficult for it to create a positive response because the only relationship you have with it is literally the people and animals that you've lost in your life who have died. So we don't really have any context. So if you can, so it'd be challenging. I would think that if you get to a point in consciousness where you see all of that, the beginning and the middle and the end, so to speak, that the continuity of moving from life, from physical to non-physical and back to physical and back to non-physical, however that all evolves. I don't think feeling neutral about it is a bad thing at all, because you're offering no resistance to it. Mm. That's the key to me. You're offering no resistance to the concept or idea. And when you're released of that energy, when you don't have resistance there, then all of the potential that exists is for you in this life experience is available because you're not resisting being here or leaving here. You realize that in some way, shape, or form, you realize that it all contributes to your evolution. It all contributes to your growth. And it gets even crazier because you could spend all kinds of time fussing over how you might die, when you might die, what dying looks like, where it might happen, how it might happen. And the funny thing about it is that all of that is kind of more resistance and wasted energy, because how would we know? So why not get conscious? Why not build a relationship with the understanding of death? Why not build a relationship with that as a part of your life transition process so that you can not be in resistance? Why not build that relationship so that you can be fully in this moment, in this life, engaging it without the concern of what's going to happen next, because you don't know anyway.
So we make stuff up.
Yeah, so we make up more story. Just another amazing another amazing layer of how complex this appears in our reality, but is not really that complicated.
Right. I appreciate that distinction. I want to go one level deeper.
Yeah.
We've all experienced times when we go numb. It's like the fear reaction of freeze. So sometimes we numb ourselves to protect ourselves and this happens to a lot of people after trauma. It's just too big to deal with. And so numbness is protective in a way. Mm-hmm. So how do you distinguish numbness? Yeah, I think about death, I don't feel anything. Numbness from where if the numbness was removed, there'd be a big reaction. How do you distinguish numbness from a healthy unattachment or what you call a non-event?
Well, I think numbness still carries weight to it. There is a heaviness that while you may be able to partition that thought or belief, depending on what beliefs you have attached to that whole process, what experiences you've had with the death process, will really lay out what the layers of your process are. But the numbness to me, first off, the first thought I have about it is internally, you know, the difference between being neutral and being numb. Numb still carries avoidance. Numb is like putting a thick layer a thick layer of sap over top of you, over top of the belief. It's just this kind of oozy covering that isn't doing anything, but you can feel it. You feel the heaviness of it. It doesn't have to be dense, but it's not an open place. And in the busyness of life, that numbness can be construed as neutral. But when you really stop and you ask yourself, or like I was saying earlier, you lean into this relationship with death, you can't deny the numbness. Because you should have feelings. There should be some, if you sit in that space of being with death or contemplating the end of your being on this planet. I know that sounds absolutely bizarre, but it's not in any way, shape or form, because it's a natural part of the life experience. So why not have interest in exploring what that may bring, what that has to do with me? How would that feel? You know, in my process of doing that, I discovered a lot of things about myself, and I discovered a lot of things about the actual death process, or things that I think anyway, that even in the context of how I die, which is really where I think most people have their anxiety and fear and numbness, is in how I'm going to die, not that I'm going to die. But when you push into that and you begin to imagine those different things, the thing that came really clear to me is the how is typically a short something. It's a short time. And what we don't know is how conscious is the individual dying in the process of that process. Meaning, how conscious are they? So to me, it seems like let's get conscious of the process. Yeah, we can't know it inside and out from this side, I don't think. But we can definitely open ourselves to whatever that potential is so that it doesn't become this point of resistance. And since we're all going there, it just seems like why not engage it? Why not be a part of it? So the numbness, ultimately, I think once you get quiet with yourself, the numbness may be there to help you move through the day or to move through your experience. And maybe a lot of people go there as a buffer, but as soon as you ask that question, as we started at the beginning, as soon as you dial into that experience, you're going to see it for what it is. And if it's numbness, it will show up as numbness because you will have a difficult time reaching for anything. Where in a space of that openness, there is no risk, like a breeze coming through the window. There's no resistance to it. So in different aspects of it, as they move through your energy, stimulate different experiences, like I was talking about before, that anticipation or that, wow, what is that? And wow, that feels weird. And what's it going to be like to not be me? Am I not going to be me anymore? And if me goes away, what does that look like and feel like? That kind of thought process that you just sort of start exploring, you'll find the numbness in there.
Got it. Yeah. I think of a phrase I heard. Where did I hear this? I don't remember if it was in the song or where I heard it. But it was every breath takes me closer to my last.
Mm.
It was in the context of practicing breathing, actually, and recognizing how true that is. That right now, this breath that I just took takes me one closer to my last breath. And there's something not morbid about that, but very peaceful and pragmatic, like, well, yeah.
Well, it incorporates death as a natural part of life. It doesn't differentiate death from some, or differentiate death to some other, you know, like the religious construct of going to hell or being, you know, you're bad, you're dying, and now you're going to get judged.
Right. Another thing it does, it suggests active participation. So rather than thinking of we live for however many years, and then we die and die, so living is that one, and dying is just a snippet at the end. It's thinking of living kind of as living and dying as coinciding events. So we start with a full life and then gradually it diminishes. And as that coinciding with that, in the same proportion as we start with no death and every time we get closer to it. So we're actively participating with death just as we're actively participating with life.
Yep. And death and life are running simultaneously all the time.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to dive in a little more deeply into the multi-layeredness of this this relationship with death, and see if we can't flesh out a little bit more of how we can more effectively have a relationship or a better relationship with death. It's an exciting time. Who'd have thunk we'd be sitting here thinking, talking about death in like we talk about the latest movie we saw. but we'll be back right after this break. So bear with us. Thanks, guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Moshe, Conversation with Moshe, as we talk about changing our relationship with death. And before the break, we were, and during the break, actually, I find myself feeling a tad awkward in the conversation, and I'm not sure why. So I just want to put it out there and see what unfolds over the next segment here, because it feels like we're tapping into, but something is not quite connecting yet in me, and I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, we're going to carry on and look at, and it could be have to do with where these layers exist. And maybe we've taken on a major topic, I don't want to rush through the concepts, and maybe that's a little bit of the tension, is I want to make sure that we're being as clear with what we're talking, and I think we're being clear. I noticed that I'm wanting to not glaze over this in a way, because it's such an impactful topic.
I have that same reaction of a few times working hard to stay tuned in to our conversation. Some might be mentioned before we started that I didn't have a great night's sleep and am summoning the energy to be present, but it might be the topic too. It's so easy to tune out of it.
It is, so let's dive into this multi-layered process. So as we were talking about, one of the few areas in our lives where, because I know initially when Moshe was talking at the intro, he was talking about the aspects of survival, the fight or flight, the freeze. Those are specifically typically associated with survival. And realizing that survival is one aspect of this, because obviously it's going to stimulate a survival instinct, because it's the termination of what you believe yourself to be. But beyond that, then you have all of the religious context, which is all of the beliefs that are built about how life and death work, and how death works in particular, and the ramifications of dying. I think I said this before the break, is that there's a whole cater of human beings, most human beings, at least in Western culture, have associated with death the idea of a judgment that's occurring immediately after that death. And that, wait, I have no control over, except by my actions in life, but I don't know, because nobody really tells me whether my actions in life are taking me to a place where I'm going to be judged favorably or negatively. And who's doing the judging? And what am I going to be judged on? And so can you imagine, and I hope you can, the amount of resistance and stress and fear that is added to the process just by virtue of that simple little thought process, that simple little idea that you are judged after death by some great being that's going to determine whether you are going somewhere good or somewhere bad. That's like a little story that consumes all of our consciousness about death. So here we are in this layer going, but you know, there's so many different feelings. I want to run from this. I'm scared to death of this. I want to hide from it. And what if God doesn't love me? And what if, And so you don't build one belief, you build a whole cater of beliefs around that idea. So peeling back the layers is bringing reality to the story that's been made up, reality being be present in now in your experience and feel your way into the experience so you can begin to understand your relationship with the idea of death, with the concept of death, with the reality of death. Would you like to add anything to that while I breathe?
Yeah, I'm still noticing how we're responding to this topic. As you were talking, what jumped out is the expression you use, scared to death. Mm. And then I thought there's another expression, I love you to death.
I love you to death, yep.
Yeah. So we use death as a powerful anchor that kind of, it's the ultimate. And that is tied to, I love what you said, I wrote it down, about death is the termination of what you believe in yourself, of what you believe yourself to be. And so we presume the judgment that goes with that, that will life. It's like there is a TV show, The Good, what's it called, with Ted Danson, The Good Life.
Yeah, The Good Life. I think it's a Good Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right? Something like that. And yeah, it's all about what happens afterwards. And they make a comedy out of it, a very powerful comedy.
I have to watch that. I've never watched the show in its entirety, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
And the idea intrigues me.
It's really an interesting premise, especially with the mix up entailed and the humor. It's really a cool way to broaden one's perspective of death and what's next.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of the layers, one thing we do is as we think about what's next, we still conceive of ourselves as these physical beings. Well, I died, but now I'm existing in this other realm, whether it's people think of heaven or hell or other cosmos or whatever it is. But we still see that within our, okay, I still have my same body and my same mind, and I'm just somewhere else now. But that can't be how it is. It's
without a body.
Yeah, we do leave that behind.
Yeah.
There's a song called "On the Right Side of the Right Side of the Dirt." I think it's a country song. Mm. It's about the whole idea of I woke up another day, woke up on the right side of the dirt. So here I am.
Oh, that's interesting. I came across a post today, and I think it was a memory, but I had to take a picture because it was 9 important facts to remember as we grow older. And there's only a couple of them I'm going to share because it just cracks me up. But number 9 is death is the number one killer in the world. Yeah, like that is so good. Life. And the other one was, where is it? Health nuts are going to feel stupid someday, lying in the hospital, dying of nothing. I think that was it. I just love the references because I think they speak a level of truth. But as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, maybe the discomfort in the conversation is clarifying that we're proposing a different perspective on a relationship that really none of us understand. I think in the context of why we're here, why we chose to be here, what we're doing here, and then we're leaving here. And where did we come from before we got here? Where are we going after we leave here? Why did we come here to begin with? You know, there's all of those questions that I think all of us have at some level. Once you peel back the layers of all the training and stuff and culturization and all that stuff that's been layered in over our lifetimes, when you peel that back, you're stuck with you in the context of whatever relationships you're having. And maybe some of this kind of chunkiness is we're proposing alternative perspectives, but we don't have any better idea what's happening over there than you do. We just have a better, I think, not a, a greater perspective from life experience that leads us to think differently about the process and realizing that changing the relationship with that process changes, is another way of changing in a very radical way how we engage in life. So the idea of being comfortable with death is just saying that it's another opportunity that's coming sometime in my lifetime, and I don't necessarily know when that is. It's no different than, I think, no different in concept than when am I going to get married? When am I going to create my dream job? When am I going to move to wherever? When am I going to take a vacation? All of those things are concepts or ideas, and you may have favorable viewpoints of them given your own history and background, but you don't have any idea what those are going to be. You can make it up. You know, if you're going to go on vacation, you're of course going to make up hopefully favorable stories of what that experience is going to be like, but you have no idea because you've never been there before. Well, you've never been to death before in your own conscious awareness. So why not explore it with a positive perspective? Why not explore it from the perspective of breaking down anything that's negatively associated with it within your own consciousness and surrendering and releasing those ideas and those concepts and beliefs and stepping into a more curious, maybe a more curious consciousness of, this is interesting. I don't understand it. I'm not sure what it's about, but everything in this life conspires on my behalf. Everything in this life is about supporting growth and evolution. Why wouldn't that be the same? And explore it from that perspective rather than the fear-based perspective, which constantly stimulates the fight or flight mechanism and keeps you in that loop of fear and survival. That engine, when you are resisting death, is running all the time. And it may be quieter in the background, but it's there all the time, consuming parts and portions of your energy.
Well, as you talked about curiosity and wonderment, it leads me to think maybe there's three kinds of reactions to the idea of death. One is avoid. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want it to happen. I want to live as long as I can. So let's push it up. The second one is being curious. Like curious about anything else. I wonder what that experience will be like. And the third, maybe, and I found myself in resistance when this word came to mind, is welcoming.
Mm.
So like I would welcome a vacation. I look forward to that. And I know some people say they look forward to death. Often it's if they're unwell and have a lot of suffering, they think death will be a relief. It'll end this. I don't like this existence. The people who commit suicide, I imagine, have that. It's just too painful. Death will relieve the pain. I won't do it anymore. I presume. I don't know that to be. But that whole idea of welcoming death, it's not like, well, I'm planning a vacation. I'm not planning, okay, I think I'll die, whatever. So I don't think it's active like that, though some like masters of consciousness do know when their death is imminent.
And I want to take a minute on that particular point, because it's a place that I have personally reached in the thought process or in the evolution of thought about death. And that is two things. One, welcoming it is not a way of saying I'm done here. It's not, I could almost imagine that somebody would say, why would I embrace death? Doesn't that mean I'm going to call it to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to you that you've been calling it to you since the day you came on the planet. Just like Moshe said about the breath. I think it was the breath, wasn't it?
Every breath is one step closer.
So that's already in process. But where I've come to about it is the more conscious I can be about it, the more likelihood that I'll be conscious in it. And that's, to me, ultimately what I think I would love to be able to be conscious of my transition. And I don't mean, and as I was saying that, I'm seeing pictures in my head. No, I don't want to necessarily be conscious of being in a horrendous car wreck or in some horrible experience. But at the same time, I've envisioned those things as a part of my own process in death. I think I shared this with you, Moshe, about a year ago, that I would be dreaming of being in an airplane and the airplane splitting open and me falling out of this airplane to my death, and I could never die in the dream. I could never get to the ground. And I tried like heck to like fall all the way down. And there was a point that I couldn't, literally, I could not get my consciousness to go there. And I thought, that's so interesting. It's not available to me right now. That's not available to me. Just like any other concept, construct, whatever. When you go to reach for something and you can't grasp it, it's not there for you yet. So something in my vibration would have to change to come into alignment with the experience of death. It doesn't mean it can't happen in resistance. It does all the time. We watch that all the time. But what would it be like to not be in resistance to the process that would allow me to align to that process when the time is right for that alignment to happen? So that I'm not unconscious of am I going to walk outside and a building's going to fall on me? You know, I don't know in the end if that's the case. I don't know if I'm, you know, if it's going to be a process of sitting on the couch one day and I'm here and then I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the more I explore it, the more I go, there's so many, I at least want to be aware. I want to be conscious that as I'm moving through this life process, that there is something that happens in my consciousness because I'm constantly wanting to expand and connect that will alert, not even alert, that will, because alert means something's wrong, but will bring awareness to something is changing. I'm changing. I'm shifting to a new place. And this new place, is this place where death is taking me? Is this place where life is taking me? And is life and death different? Are they truly different energies, or we have we called them that because of our fear?
Yes. So here's a question I would pose. In my book, I'm defining the Amari wave, and I'm pointing out the word Amari, which is Latin for love, which I define as energy that uplifts and connects.
Yes.
The question is, can we approach death with, and maybe more so, can we experience death with energy that's uplifting and connecting? So I'll pose the question and hope you'll have the answer.
One more time.
Can we talk about, we are here to experience. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why we're in this physical form, to experience. We can choose our experiences. And that's your whole point of your book, Fear is a Choice. We can choose, imbue our experiences with fear or with mm-hmm. love. And so can we carry that into death, into the anticipation of death, the consideration of death, the wondering about death? Can we do that with an energy that's uplifting and feeling connected and the actual dying? Can that be done with an energy that's uplifting and connecting? Because that is that would be Amare in its ultimate action.
Yes. And that's a really powerful question, I think. The first thought that I have is that in order to get there, there has to be a change in the understanding or the definition of death. So to the degree that I'm able to clear my field of the multiple layers of stuff that may have been there or may be there about what the death experience is the degree to which I can find an elevated experience of what this thing called death might be. Again, I go back to the idea of dreaming a vacation or dreaming of a relationship that you haven't had or don't have never experienced. You can go either direction in that experience. You could think about all the delays in your travel. You could think about plane issues. You could think about hotel issues. You could think about getting food poisoning. You could think about all of that stuff on your vacation. Or you can choose to focus in your vacation into something that's going to feel joyous, that's going to feel uplifting, that's going to be whatever all that is. I can't see how it could be or would be different because we have no context. You don't know if when that relationship happens, if anything else happens past that. Do you know what I mean? Like you can envision it, but you don't know for certain that if you have that relationship, that anything happens after that point. Or if you have that vacation, is that the end? You know, is that the end of my experience? Because you have no, how would you know? Because you're being in now and you're being in now and you're being in now. So I think in the same context with regard to death is peel back the layers of your experience of what happens when you draw that into you. What does it feel like? What are you noticing? And begin to build a different relationship. And I think that would be, if you're bringing love into the equation, then love will inform your viewpoint. Love will inform the experience. That's where inspiration comes from. So being inspired through the love energy is going to create something that will be a space to understand, a space to connect, a space to align in this new field. And what that will look like will probably be a little different for everybody, because your journey to get there is different than mine is, and it's going to be different than Moshe's is, because our upbringing and our relationships and all of that are different. So we're peeling different onions at this point. But in the end, if it's infused with love, I think we have that opportunity. And I've talked us out of time. So this one, I think, may be one to be continued.
Yeah, feels that way.
Because it doesn't seem like it hasn't had a beginning, middle, and an end like many of the topics do.
Right.
But so I'm going to rush through our closing here. I apologize to our viewers that we have to bail out this in this fashion. But again, we knew the topic was going to be big. I hope you can take some of what we explored in here, and even some of the chunkiness and some of the places where it felt maybe awkward, and just recognize that we as humans are exploring it just like you as humans are. And we're hoping to provide a shift in perspective, so that this is one more place where you can lose a large chunk of fear, a large wedge of fear out of your experience by dealing or addressing or getting involved in this, because again, the potential that it creates is extraordinary. The relief that you can feel in your day-to-day life of not resisting some distant event that you don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, or why it's going to happen. Just be aware that it's going to happen, like all the other things that you experience in life. It's that it's going to happen. So thank you all for being here today. Moshe, as always, appreciate you, appreciate this energy. Moshe, www.theamariwave.com. Check out his book, www.adventuresintruth.com, for my book. And if you want to work with me or work with Moshe, you can work with Moshe through his website. You can work with me through my website. But thank you all for being here. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Like us, share us, visit us, all that good stuff. And don't forget to buy my book. Comes out Tuesday, guys. Looking forward to seeing you. Looking forward to joining me on Tuesday for our celebration. Have an amazing day. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.